Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm son of Ishmael Abel, Nebiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is son of Ishmael Abel, Yeshaya Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Ishmael Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now like to present to you one of the sons of Ishmael Abel, Bill Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is, Why Do We Have Testing Trials? First of all, let me ask a question. Who here has been tested? We all have. Now, in answer to the question, why do we have testing trials, turn to Exodus 20, verse 20, page 61, and read. It says, Moshe said to the people, Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so the reverence of Yahweh will be with you, so you do not commit sin. Testing trials will come to see whether we will pass by keeping Yahweh's laws or if we will moan and groan and fail. So why is Yahweh testing us to see if we're keeping his law, to see if we will keep his laws? Turn to Genesis 1. And let's look at verse 26. Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Yahweh wants to give us authority over his entire creation. Turn to Psalms. Please turn to Psalms 8 on page 437. Let's look at verse 5. For you have made him a little lower than the Malkim, but you will crown him with glory and honor. You have made man to be ruler over the works of your hands. You will put all things under his feet. But Yahweh will not give us this great authority to guard and keep his creation until he can trust us to obey him. We can't be given this authority if he can't trust us to obey him. Let's turn over to Genesis 4. And let's look at verse 6. So Yahweh said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why are you downcast? Verse 7, If you do righteousness, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door, and the desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. Sin is crouching at everyone's door, but we must overcome it. That is the test, overcoming the sin that is at your door. Please turn over to Jacob, the book of Jacob. Jacob 4, verse 7 on page 955. Jacob 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit yourselves, resist the devil. Submit yourselves to Yahweh. Resist the devil and she will flee from you. Notice how we overcome. We submit to Yahweh and resist the devil. Say no to sin and Satan will flee from you. That's Yahweh's promise. There is no test that is impossible to pass. They might seem impossible, but they aren't. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And look at verse 13. There is no temptation taking hold of you except what is common to man. And Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, you will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When we think our tests are impossible, let's think of this scripture. Romans 8:18, please turn there. Romans 8:18 on page 879. says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed to us." Please turn to Hebrews 11, page 11, verse 36, on page 951. Another said trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawed in two, were tested, were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, cruelly treated, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these things, having a righteous report through the faith, having not received the promise. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they without us would not be made perfect. Those who pass those tests will be in the kingdom. Even though we may be going through tests, we need to rejoice. Turn to 1 Kefa. Please turn to 1 Kefa. Page 957. 1 Kefa 1 and verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you must suffer grief through manifold temptations. So if we pass our test, we will make it into Yahweh's kingdom. But if we give up and quit, we will not be fit, as Yahshua said in Luke 9, verse 62. Please turn there. Luke 9, verse 62. And Yeshua said to him, "No man who puts his hand to the plow then looks back is fit for the kingdom of Yahweh." Any man that comes here and says, "Well, I'm going to get in the work," and starts working, but then gives up because he thinks he's being treated unfairly or whatever the case is, and he gives up and he says, "Well, I'm not doing it anymore," is not fit for Yahweh's kingdom. In closing, let us endure our tests, and we will be in Yahweh's kingdom. For my closing scripture, turn to Jacob 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is proved, he will receive the crown in life which Yahweh has promised to those who love him." So if we endure these tests, we will be in Yahweh's kingdom. And with this, if y'all please stand. If y'all please remain standing, I'd like to turn it over to the great son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Yisrael David.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. In one of Pastor's recent sermons, he talked to us about how we should be conducting ourselves in the house of Yahweh. And that's what the title of my sermon is going to be about, is Proper Conduct in the House. And we've been trained for years on what that proper conduct is. And, you know, that's dressing modestly, speaking as friends, being respectful to one another, respecting the environment that we're in, whether it's the work environment, the environment outside, practicing the peaceful solution, striving our best to come into unity with one another, to work as a team, work as a body, to get the job done, and to work together to be sons and daughters of Yahweh. So, now remember, that's speaking to everyone, you know, whether it's the small children or the adults, parents, teachers, students. It's speaking to everybody. Now, if you'll turn over to 1 Kefa, 1 Kefa chapter 1, and verse 14, it says, that's on page 957, it says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts you had when you lived in ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, so you also become holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" So we're going to go over what is that holiness that we should be striving to develop. Now, we lead by example, so we should be showing, you know, a proper example to one another. We teach with everything we do. We teach by example. So we should be striving to show that proper example to each other, whether it's to the new people that come here, you know, looking for guidance. Because I know, you know, a lot of people, when they first come here, they expect a perfect environment because, you know, it's the house of Yahweh and we should be striving for perfection. So we should strive to show them, you know, that perfect environment as perfect as possible as we can get it. So that's one point we should always remember. Show a proper example to one another, especially the new people, by everything we do and say. Another thing, as parents and teachers, if we argue and fight with one another, well then, what are we teaching our students or our children? We're teaching them to argue and fight among themselves, or to argue and fight with the teachers. If we badmouth others behind their backs, or we gossip about others and talk about how bad they are, or a bad job that they're doing, then what are we teaching our students and children? We're teaching them to do the same thing about us and about others. If we get frustrated and we take our emotions out on the people that we're responsible for, whether it's our students or our children or our workers, then what can we expect them to do? You know, they'll do the same thing, whether it's toward us or towards the people that they're working with. And when they're faced with similar situations, because we're all striving for the highest position, they're going to be supervisors eventually too. When they're faced with similar situations, well, that's what you taught them to do because they look up to you. You're their supervisor or their father or mother or teacher. So remember, actions speak a lot louder than words. Now, in the same way, when we go out into the world, whether we're going to the store or going to work or going, you know, to do peaceful solution things, spreading the message, well, we're examples of the house of Yahweh. So we should be showing the world the house of Yahweh. And we should be conducting ourselves as Yahweh's children. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, and that's on page 889. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 on page 889. Now it says, "Do you not understand that you are the house of Yahweh?" So this is speaking to everybody as a body, but also to us as individuals. We are the house of Yahweh. Okay, remember the commercial? We are Israel Hawkins and we are the house of Yahweh. So we're the house of Yahweh. When we go out there, people see us as the house of Yahweh. And remember what Pastor said in his last sermon, you know, if they ask you, "Are you from the house of Yahweh?" Well, don't deny the house of Yahweh because Yahweh will deny you. Praise Yahweh, or Yahshua will deny you. Do not deny the house of Yahweh. We are the house of Yahweh. So we are the house of Yahweh, verse 16, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. Well, remember what that Spirit is. It's the laws of Yahweh that are taught to us, that give us life. The Spirit of Yahweh dwells in us. If anyone defiles the house of Yahweh, Yahweh will destroy him, for the house of Yahweh is holy, which you are. Remember that holiness, what that holiness is. Now, when it's saying Yahweh will destroy you, that doesn't mean he's going to zap you or anything, but by your conduct, you destroy yourself. By worldly conduct or sinful conduct, you destroy yourself. You destroy your own body. So we should be striving to have holy, righteous conduct. Continuing on, when we go out into the world, you know, we should stand out to others because we should have that respectable radiance. You know, we should be showing that we're respectful, that we're keeping Yahweh's laws, that we're righteous, that we don't slander and gossip one another like the world does. So our employers should know, you know, Mr. Hawkins or Mrs. Hawkins, you know, he's the best worker I have, or she's the best worker I have. He's respectful. I can trust him. He's not going to steal from me. You know, he's very respectful to the customers, and it should all be righteous reports. And they should be able to trust you. So when somebody says something about you that's negative, because they're going to, he'll be able to say, "You know what? No, I work with this guy. I know he's not going to do something like that." So, you know, we should strive to show, flee from every appearance of evil. Always strive to show the best example that we can to people here and to people in the world. Let's turn over to Yochanan 13 and verse 35. Yochanan 13 and verse 35 on page 831. It says, "By this will all know that you are my disciples." Everyone's going to see that you are my disciples. Speaking of the house of Yahweh, are the disciples of Yahshua Messiah, or the disciples of Yahweh. Pastor's children, Yahweh's children. "By the love you have for one another." So we have to be showing love to one another. Remember what that love is. Okay? Remember what the Peaceful Solution, the Self-Control Unit, tells us on page 32 and 33. That love is, it's respect, or it's mutual trust built on respect. And that respect is showing care and concern for one another. or keeping the laws of Yahweh towards one another. So when we're here, when we're out in the world, we're in the world, because we're all in the world, we're surrounded by worldly influences, like the Peaceful Solution tells us, but we're not of the world. We're part of the house of Yahweh still. So we need to remember that not to be conducting ourselves in the ways of the world. So remember what Pastor said in his sermon a few weeks back. He said that conduct yourself as if when you turn and look behind your back, I'm going to be standing there looking at you. And that really, really is, that's very helpful, because if we all did that, you know, we'd be able to remember, you know, well, Pastor's looking at me. I need to be conducting myself the best way I can. Now, that's not to say that, you know, we should be scared of Pastor by any means, because remember what the scripture says, you know, you shouldn't fear your ruler. You know, your ruler's there to make sure you're doing what's right. So do what's right, and there's no reason for you to fear your ruler. So, or, you know, your teacher, your leader. So anyone who knows Pastor knows that he's striving to be like Yahweh himself. You know, he's not going to praise Yahweh. You know, he's not going to beat you down or try to, you know, make you feel insignificant because you made a mistake or you made an error. Now, if you do something wrong, he's going to tell you, you know, what you're doing is sin. And, you know, it's cutting you off from Yahweh. You need to repent of it because you're going to die. And, you know, he'll tell you that. So he'll let you know. But that's because he cares about us. He cares about all of us. And if you're doing what's right, he'll back you up 100% the entire way. Praise Yahweh. And I know that, and anybody that deals with Pastor knows that. So let's turn over to 1 Kefa. 1 Kefa chapter 4, or chapter 1, excuse me. And we just read the scripture, but I want to hit it one more time to emphasize it. 1 Kefa chapter 1 and verse 14 through 16 again. As obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts you had when you lived in ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, so you also become holy in all your conduct. We're trying to be a reflection of Yahweh, a reflection of that perfection. That's building the spirit of Yahweh that's inside of us. Okay? And that spirit is extremely necessary. And we'll go into detail on why that's so necessary in a minute. Become holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So holiness, through spirit holy. You know, that's how we get holiness, through the spirit of Yahweh. Remember, that's Yahweh's character. It's not like a ghost or some floating being or something like the world teaches, but it is existent. It's the spirit of Yahweh. It's Yahweh's character that we as individuals are developing in ourselves. And it's built through Yahweh's laws. Remember what Yochanan 6:63 says, that the spirit is the laws that I give to you, and it gives life. But we need to remember that, and don't take that lightly. The spirit gives life. Yahweh's spirit, or the character that we're building in ourselves, gives life. And that's Yochanan 6:63, so remember that. But our goal should be to build Yahweh's spirit in us. We do that by building Yahweh's character through our conduct, through holy, righteous conduct, because that spirit is what gives us life. Remember what Pastor told us, flesh and blood alone are not going to sustain us forever. Okay, because what occurs with the blood? The blood gets contaminated, the diseases get in the blood, and we get sick and we die. Right? But when our bodies are changed, and we have spirit keeping us alive. And remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells us that that's going to be in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Remember what Khan brought us in the sermons a few weeks ago about that time is right upon us, that moment and twinkling of an eye. So we need to be very, very, you know, vigilant, very sober, very watchful at our conduct and make sure that we're doing the best that we can to have that spirit as strong as it can be. Remember the food of the Holy Spirit sermon the pastor brought out, talking about developing that spirit. We need to make sure that it's as strong as it can be. The character of Yahweh is as strong as it can be in our bodies. That way it can maintain us and keep us alive. But we do that through our conduct. And the position that we get, the authority that we get, the power that we get, the job that we get in Yahweh's kingdom is based on the character that we develop in ourselves. The strength, how much we feed that spirit, that character of Yahweh within ourselves. So we determine the position that we get. And that's right now. Remember, this is a training ground, a proving ground that we have right now that is proving us to see, are we going to get that position? So that's what we're facing right now. So we really need to take that seriously. And remember, this life is temporary. You know, this life with all the tests and trials, like Bill was talking about, and that was a wonderful sermon that Deacon Buffalo Bill gave earlier. Praise Yahweh. And, you know, we're going to be tested and tried because that's how Yahweh is going to see whether we will achieve that position. But it's us that's proving ourselves for that position. And we're going to see some crazy things, okay? Because we're being trained for some crazy things in the universe. Remember, they have sin in their lives too, and we're going to be teaching them Yahweh's laws. So we're going to see some crazy things here that we might not expect, okay? Times are going to get much worse, and we're going to see a lot crazier things that we're not going to expect. But if you keep in mind that it's training for a much bigger life, a much, you know, that promise that Yahweh is promising us is wonderful. It's training us for that. That way we don't get discouraged by the tests and trials that come for us. So remember that. It's training for much bigger, and do your best to do your, do your best in those tests and trials. So this life is just temporary. It's a training ground for a much, much bigger job, a much, much bigger position. So we can't cheat our way into the kingdom. The effort that we put forth now determines the position that we get in the kingdom. Praise Yahweh. So, you know, we can't put on a show and make it seem like we're doing what's right and expect, you know, pastor to just, oh, he's doing great. But really behind the scenes, we're doing terrible. Or Yahweh to think, oh, he's doing great. But really behind the scenes, we're doing terrible. You know, what we do determines the position that we get. And that's set in stone. So it's based on our conduct right now. And we're not going to be able to bribe our way into any kind of position. You know, well, if I do this, then, you know, can I get a higher position? No. What we're doing right now is proving us. So, brothers and sisters, let's put forth the best effort. You know, this is the final stretch of the race that we're running. So let's put forth that last blast of energy and, you know, make it, seek for the highest position you can get, like the scriptures tells us. You know, seek for the highest job, the highest position you can get. Let's put away anger, strife, and bitterness, like the great Kahan told us a few weeks ago. And let's shoot for the highest position that we can. And remember, Yahweh is on your side, okay? You know, the world's not going to win. Yahweh's going to win in this showdown. So we're all on the right team. So let's strive to stay there and make it as far as we can. So if you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan, Michael Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom! Please be seated. Wow. Howdy, folks. Oh, wow. First and foremost, let me show something to you here. I want to make sure you've shown this. This is the bread sack that Pastor got this morning. Say, for whoever would do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. What a beautiful family we have, right? Praise Yahweh. It's an awesome plan that Yahweh has given into us. Now, if you notice, that's Matthew 12. Open up to Matthew 12, because there's something very important when you look at family to realize what family is, right? Yeshua said, Matthew 12, in verse 50, this is on page 739. You remember they ask him, well, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And in verse 50, he says, for whoever would do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Okay? That's the family of Yahweh. You know, blood relatives doesn't really mean much, right? Turn over, think of that. Turn over to Yochanan 6, chapter 6. Yochanan 6 in verse 63. Who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my sister? Who is my brother? Who is my brother-in-law? Y'all with me? Okay. But Yochanan 6, verse 63. Remember what Yeshua said here? It's the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. So it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh itself is useless. The blood relatives doesn't really amount to anything unless they have that same spirit, right? Spirit holy, and they're led and guided by Yahweh. That's our family. And we're all a family. And that's what Yahweh has brought us all together in these last days, to belong to this great and awesome family that we have. Look at Matthew 22. It's on page 750 there. Matthew 22. Because that's what really matters. You know, nothing else really matters except seeking the goal, right? Seeking the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what Yahweh says. We've got to go for the kingdom. That's why Yahweh has made us, planted us here on this earth, in order to fulfill this great and awesome plan that he has for mankind. You know, and when you think of Yahweh's plan and you keep it focused, you realize the law that says to love your neighbor as yourself, because you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. Doesn't mean you concede it. It means that you keep the laws of Yahweh. You keep those laws. If you keep those laws, then you're going to keep them towards others. And this is what brings peace, and this is what the universe is lacking at this time. In Matthew 22 here, in verse, look at verse 15. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted together how they might entangle Yeshua in what he said. So they sent out their own disciples with the Catholics, that's the Herodians, to him saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true. We know that you teach the way of Yahweh in truth without worrying about what people think, because you are not a respecter of persons. Therefore, tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not?" But Yeshua perceived their wickedness and said, "Why test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought him a denarius to him. And he said to them, "Whose picture is this? And whose name is written beneath it?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to Yahweh the things which are Yahweh's." And when they heard these things, they were amazed, and they left him, and they went their way. They were flabbergasted, you know. They just couldn't understand what the man was saying. Given to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to Yahweh what is Yahweh's. You know, I love the way that Yeshua always answered questions with questions, too. You know, he just blew their minds with the things that he brought out to them. But the thing is, he says, given to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And given to Yahweh what belongs to Yahweh. Well, you belong to Yahweh. We are this family. We belong to Yahweh. So therefore, we must give to Yahweh what is Yahweh's. And let the world have their own, because the world will take care of itself. Look over to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. Because sometimes we have to think, are we like those Herodians? Have we forgotten what we're supposed to be doing? We forget our responsibilities. Genesis 39, that's on page 33. You know, Yahweh's given us talents, and we have to use those talents. Here in Genesis chapter 39, it says, "Now Yosef had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the word Potiphar means belonging to the sun. So Potiphar was an Egyptian, okay? He was an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and an Egyptian. He was a sun god worshiper. Because he was an Egyptian, he was a Coptic Catholic. And he brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there, okay? They remember the brothers, Yosef's brothers, sold him to the Ishmaelites, and then Potiphar bought him from the Ishmaelites. And Yahweh was with Yosef. And he was a successful man. And he lived in the house of his owner, the Egyptian. Okay, so he was very diligent in what he did. He served this man diligently. And when the owner saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh gave him success in everything that he did, then Yosef found honor in his eyes, and he became his attendant. And Potiphar made him overseer of his house, and put into his hand everything that he had. Yosef had permission given to him for everything that he had. But you see, Yosef never took advantage of this man. And Yosef was a man of integrity. So much so that he even went to prison to uphold that integrity that he had. And so it was, verse 5, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Yosef's sake. And the blessings, you see, that's how you can bring blessings upon people. And people don't even know it. They don't even realize the things that they have. There's only one reason why everything is, there's new inventions and all these sorts of things that are invented and used. Because the house of Yahweh has need of it and the house of Yahweh uses it. That's the only reason why Yahweh allowed that knowledge to increase to a certain point and these things to be used. You know, the MP3 players are used for sermons to be listened to. Not for worldly music. Worldly music is sin. You know, it just totally destroys your character. It destroys who you are. It destroys everything that Yahweh is trying to build up in you. We've got to get our minds strong. Okay, so notice he says, so he entrusted all that he had into Yosef's hand, and he didn't concern himself with anything. That's how much he trusted the man and knew it, except for the bread which he ate. And Yosef was handsome in form and appearance. Now, you got to remember something, okay? Yosef was a man of integrity. Yosef was a young man. He was only 17 years old when they sold him to the Ishmaelites, okay? So he was a very young man here. He's a teenager talking about. And yet, look at the position that this guy had. And notice, and after a while, his owner's wife cast longing eyes. Keep those words in mind, the longing eyes. Upon Yosef and said, lie with me. Okay, now she did this all the time. And you see this going on all the time in the world. The temptations are there. But he refused and he said to his owner's wife, my owner does not concern himself with what I do in his house, as he has committed all that he has to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. Nor has he held back anything he has except you, because you are his wife. How then could I commit such great wickedness and sin against Yahweh? Now look, this woman could have made it real easy for Yosef, okay? She could have made it real easy for him. He could have had anything he wanted. He could have went down to the local chariot shop, you know, and picked one of them shiny new convertible chariots with 2 horsepower if he'd have wanted, right? He could have had anything he wanted. She could have just gave it to him, you know? But notice what he did. He said, no, he stood up for the laws of Yahweh. And he says, I can't do this wickedness against Yahweh. And though she spoke to him day by day, he refused to lie with her or even be with her. Now, he was practicing proper conduct, as you just heard about, right? He was practicing proper conduct. But it came to pass about this time when Yosef went into the house to do what? To do his work. Yosef wouldn't worry about temptations in Egypt. He wasn't going there to do anything. He was going there to do his work. His mind was focused on the work. And none of the men of the house were inside. Of course, that was planned by this woman. Okay, that's how devious she was. She planned this so that there wouldn't be any other men around. She had it all planned out and worked out. But this shows you that, you know, men have to be careful with proper conduct. Women have to be careful with proper conduct. You don't go into the same rooms with men and women mixed and so forth, okay? We know these things. If you don't know about them, get with your counselor and find out if you don't know about these things. And notice, verse 12, she caught him by the cloak and she said, come and lie with me. But he left his cloak in the room and he ran out the house. Yosef didn't sit around and dwell on it like, hey, yeah. No, he ran out of the house. He ran away from sin. He did exactly what the scripture says to do. He ran from sin. He didn't stick around there. Okay? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, you know, sometimes we think about the life of Yeshua. And, you know, of course, the way Christianity is, everybody makes Yeshua look like he's a God-man, you know. So he didn't have any problems. He did whatever he wanted to do. And, you know, he could snap his fingers and a puff of smoke would appear. And anything he wanted could appear before him and so forth. That's not the way that he was. He was a man. He was tempted in all ways. And here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, this is on page 945, Hebrews 4, verse 15. He says, seeing then we have a great high priest who ascended into the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, who fasts our profession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all ways tempted as we are, yet was without sin. So he was tempted. The same exact ways in which we're tempted in these last days. Okay? It's much more prevalent now and much more, greater temptations because it's everywhere. That's why we're in the last days. We couldn't, the world couldn't last any longer if it would continue on like that. Now, look over turn over to chapter 11 there, chapter 11. But he had to be proven. He had to be proven to Yahweh. He had to be tested. He had to be tried. He had to be proven with all the temptations that the world has. In Hebrews 11, Moshe is always referred to as being the lawkeeper and stuff. But Moshe had to make a choice, just like Yosef. He had to make a choice about the pleasures of Egypt. And you remember, one of the laws of Yahweh says, don't go back to Egypt. Of course, the people went back to Egypt. But not just Egypt, the nation of Egypt. We were talking about sin, the lifestyle of sin itself. And Moshe had all the pleasures of Egypt that he could have had. You know, and it says in Acts 7:22 that Moshe was, he was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in word and deeds. You know, he wasn't somebody who wasn't known in Egypt. He was known. And the thing is, he could have had what he wanted, but he didn't. And you see here in Hebrews 11, verse 26, Hebrews 11, 26, he says, he esteemed the reproach of a saint greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he was looking to the recompense of the reward. Notice, he was looking to, Moshe was looking forward to the kingdom. He wasn't looking back. He was looking forward to the things that he could have. For the recompense of the reward. That reward, that's the same reward that we read about in Revelation 22, that Yeshua said, I'm coming to reward you for your work, right? So, turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Moshe looked forward. He didn't look back. He didn't think, oh man, you know, what did he give up? What I gave up when I left all this stuff in Egypt. You know, you hear people say that sometimes, don't you? People will say, well, you know, when I came out of the world, I left this and I left that. Let me tell you something, okay? When you got out of the world, you didn't leave a thing. You had nothing in the world, okay? You left it all behind is what you did. You didn't give anything up. You had nothing to begin with in the beginning except sin. You left that behind and you came in the Yahweh's house. That's why you're here, right? You're here because of Yahweh's, you're here in Yahweh's house to be able to have these things. You know, and like it says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, you know, it hasn't even entered our minds. Awesome things that Yahweh has in store for us, including this heat today, right? It's a blessing. It's doing something. That's what we have to realize, is that no matter what, Yahweh is in complete control and everything works for a reason, okay? Because we could have some deadly disease or whatever, who knows what, that Yahweh is protecting us from. Okay, in Hebrews 6, like Pastor says, when you're up here, you just forget about it because you just get into looking at the scriptures. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 here. So he left Egypt, okay? And in Romans chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, it says, for when you were servants to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Yeah, you didn't have to worry about anything, right? Righteousness didn't control you. There was no control. You were completely out of control. Verse 21, but then what benefit did you get from the things from which you are now ashamed? You should be ashamed, right? We should never brag about the world and the things that we had in the world. We should be ashamed of those things because it is a shame. And for the end result thereof, of those things, is what? Life? No, it's death, right? Death. Death is... death awaits us. If we don't grab a hold of what Yahweh has offered unto us, the only thing that we can look forward to is death. That's it. Death. Yahweh says death. You know, even if we die in this world and we're resurrected, you can still face death. You know, the life will be taken away from you. But Yahweh wants to give eternal life. See, that's the difference. You've got eternal life, and then you've got, there's no such thing as eternal death. You don't burn in hell fire like everybody says. You've got eternal life, and then you've got no life. You know? So you either live forever, or you're not going to exist anymore. Plain and simple. Turn over to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and also Deuteronomy 23. So the only thing that we've got to keep us is Yahweh's laws. This is what brings us to perfection. You know, this world offers nothing. Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 23. The world offers nothing. It has nothing to offer us. You sometimes say, oh, if only we could do this. Only if I could do that. Only if we were able to do this again or do that again. You know, that's showing foolishness, the scripture says. What do you want to do? Sin? Do we really want to go back into Egypt? That's what we've got to ask ourselves. Do we really want to go back into bondage of Egypt? You know, we're supposed to come out of this world. That's what Yahweh has brought us out of. Not think back and desire to still be a part of it. We're supposed to come out of it. We're facing the threat of global nuclear war, which is brought about because of sin. And Yahweh says, come out of her, my people. That's a personal invitation from the creator of the universe. Think about it. That's an awesome thing. And it's not given just to anybody either, right? Leviticus 19, look at verse 29. Leviticus 19, verse 29. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, or the land will fall into harlotry, and the land will become full of wickedness. Now, this doesn't mean just if you don't have a daughter, you don't have to worry about it, okay? Think of this. This is for all of us. This is for each and every one of us. Who is my mother? Who is my sister? Who is my brother? Who is my daughter? Who is my son? Remember Yeshua said? Okay? Don't prostitute. That means don't cause or don't give access to your children. Don't allow them access to others and so forth. Okay? Guard them. Protect them. Watch over them. Okay? And if any parent has failed in this, then of course they need to repent. But these are warnings that we have to watch over our children, to guard them. We'll see a little bit later why. But I turn over to Deuteronomy 23. Now, the men, you know, it's not just for daughters. It's also for everyone. In Deuteronomy 23, you know, because here we have, at the time, in the time in the world, when children need the parents' love and guidance the most, what do? They send them out to create the forbidden sin of dating. They just let them go. Let them go. We guard our children. We watch over our children. We don't care what the world says. We're going to guard our children. We want them to be holy and righteous. So in Deuteronomy 23 here, verse 17, notice it says, there shall no prostitutes be of the sons and the daughters of Israel. Notice, sons and daughters, okay? So these two laws pertain to this dating, that the forbidden sin that Yahweh says don't do. And this is the reason why the young people are escorted. This is the reason why we care about them. This is the reason why we show our love and concern about them. Not to harass them, not to think that they don't have any freedom to do anything. You need to be protected. You know why? Because you are too ignorant to do it yourself. We are too ignorant to do it ourselves. I don't say that as an insult. I'm saying that as fact. Any of the older people can think back and think like, did you have any inkling of what life was about when you were 18? Did you have any understanding when you were 25? How about 30? When you were 30, you were just realizing how stupid you were, right? Because you look back at life, you knew all of the dumb mistakes that you had made, right? So as we grow older, we need our fathers and our mothers to teach and to guide us in everything that we do. That's why we have counselors, okay? That's the whole purpose of counseling. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 5. Because Proverbs chapter 5, you know, we need that guidance. We can't do without that guidance. We've got to have that guidance forever, throughout all eternity. We can't do without it. We've got to have that. In Proverbs chapter 5 here, you know, and these laws are, we as parents, you know, we agreed to keep and to practice and uphold these laws. And so when we do that, we're able to stand before Yahweh and say we've done all that we can. We've raised our children in the way that they need to be raised. And so now we can sit back and enjoy the fruits of our labor because of the fact that when they get old, they won't depart from these things. See, that's a promise. Yahweh, when Yahweh promises something, he means it. He says that's a promise, and he's going to give us the promise. Okay? He doesn't lie. He can't lie. That's one thing that Yahweh can't do is he can't lie. Okay? So when he tells us these things, there's a reason for these things. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, it says, drink water from your own cistern, fresh running water from your own well. Now, this is talking about your family. Okay? This is talking about your family, guarding your family. Verse 16, should your own fountains be dispersed abroad like the streams of water in the streets? Should you just allow them just to run around and do what they want to do? Have their own freedom? Verse 17, let them be yours alone, not to be shared with strangers. That's anyone outside the house of Yahweh. Don't allow them to be shared with the worldly people out there, okay? And this is what occurs when people just let their children go and think, well, you can trust them. If you think you can trust your children, then you need to have your head examined, okay? Because you can't. You can't do that, okay? And you know why you can't? Because you break the law of Yahweh when you do that. That's why you can't trust your children. You must guard your children. The law doesn't say let your children go free. The law says you guide and direct your children until the time when they're given in the proper and lawful way of marriage to someone. Then you let them go. Then you have to let them go, and then they are free, okay? Then you can trust them to do whatever they want to do because it's up to them. It's their life that they live. But until then, you know, you have a grave responsibility. Look over to Isaiah chapter 5. It's on page 532. But we have to guard our families. We can't allow them to wander around. And, you know, you wonder why we preach against visiting. Visiting leads to sin. It's guaranteed to lead to sin. And when we teach you these things, it's so that you can have the understanding to avoid the temptations of sin. Okay? In Isaiah 5, look at verse 1 and 2. It says, now I sing to my well-beloved song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in the very fruitful hill. And he dug it up and gathered the stones out of it. And he planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in its midst and constructed a wine press in it. He looked forward to it bringing forth fine grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes instead. This is a warning to us, okay? This is a warning of what our forefathers became. And so Yahweh tells us, and he writes these warnings to us in these last days. Now, jump down to verse 8. Woe to those who join house to house, laying field to field, till there is no place for others, and you alone dwell in the midst of the earth. Sounds pretty simple, don't it? Notice what it says there in verse 8. Woe. That's a warning. That's something that should grab your attention. That's something you need to look out for, okay? Woe, it says. Woe to what? To those who join house to house, okay? That word house is number 1004, and it means home, house, as containing a family, a place where family gathers, okay? A place where family gathers together, house. Woe to those who join house to house, okay? That's a warning there, that you don't go gathering back and forth with others at their homes or family get-togethers and so forth. This is your family. This is our family. This is all that we need that Yahweh has given unto us, okay? This is the place of gathering. And notice what it says here. It says, till there is no place for others. In other words, you think that you can shut them out? You think that you can gather together and keep it secret? You think that you can get together and families can gather together? You know what occurs when you do that? You separate yourself from the body. You understand that? You separate yourself from the body of Messiah when you don't do the things that Yahweh's house teaches you to do. It's for our own benefit. We want to be alive in these last days. We want to see that. Don't you want to usher in the kingdom of Yahweh? I mean, you know, when you get down and out, just start thinking about those things of the great and awesome things that Yahweh has in store for us. And this would lift you up and build you up to make you think about what you have in store for you. It's amazing what Yahweh has in store for us. Turn back over to Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10. So we got to remember these things because if we, you know, Yahweh wants to give us life. Yahweh takes no pleasure in anybody going the other way. He just doesn't do it. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verse 24. Because remember, no place for others, separate from the body, this house means a place where a family gathers together. Here's the gathering that we should be doing. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards righteous works, right? Not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So much more so that you see the day approaching, okay? When we see these things, we can encourage one another. We can gather together and not forsake one another, like it says. We need one another. You know, we need one another. We can't make it on our own. We've got to have one another as our brothers and sisters. Otherwise, you know, you separate yourself if you're all by yourself. Jump down to verse 35 here. Verse 35, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is a great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence. Okay? Hold your place there. Turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Found on page 921. He says, don't cast away your confidence. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a righteous work in you will continue to bring it to perfection until the day of Yeshua Messiah. See, we can have that confidence. Yahweh has begun a righteous work in us, and he's going to bring it to completion. No matter who we are, what we think of ourselves, okay, that's all irrelevant. Yahweh knows what we are. He made us. He's our creator. He knows how we are. He knows how our personalities are. He knows how our character is. He's judging us on those things, on the efforts that we put forth. And we have the confidence that he's not finished with us yet. You know, we can't give up, because you know what? Yahweh ain't going to give up on us. Okay? Even if you decide to turn from him, you just sit back and say, okay, go your own way and do what you want to do. But hopefully you'll repent and come back. You know, everybody has that opportunity to do that if they'll just take advantage of it. Hebrews, and we're probably going to see a lot of people who have left Yahweh's house for no reason. Maybe one day they'll return. Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of Yahweh, you may receive the promise. Okay, there's a promise that is there. He promises to give these things to us if we'll just endure. Yet a little while, and he who is coming will not delay. Now the just will live by the faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. If anyone draws back, okay? Now, we don't want to draw back. Hold your place there and turn over to Acts. Luke 9. It's on page 794. He says, if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. In Luke 9, verse 60, well, you remember 61 now. He was talking in verse 60, he says, go and preach the kingdom of Yahweh, okay? And then one of them says, well, I'll go, but first let me go bid my family farewell. Well, who is this family? Remember what Yeshua said? Who is my family? Who is my mother? Who is my sister? Who is my brother? But those who do the will of Yahweh, okay? And when he says, let me go and do this, well, remember who your family is, and a man leaves his father and his mother to become at one. This is the reason why, you know, there's a lot of cut downs and so forth in the world and all this kind of stuff about in-laws and stuff, you know. But when a man leaves his father and his mother, he becomes at one with his wife. They're a family. They are the house of Yahweh. And that's what matters. That's the family. And you don't interfere with those things. You let them be. If they need guidance, they'll ask their counselors for these things. Verse 62, and Yeshua said, no man who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit. That word fit means useful. You're not useful for the kingdom of Yahweh if you put your hand to the plow and you look back. You know, if you begin the work, but then, you know, you get back going, get involved into the world again, you know, and the cares of this life and so forth. You're taking your hand off the plow and you're looking back. You're going back. You're forgetting you're supposed to be going forward. You're supposed to be plowing up that ground. Remember, Yahweh is the ultimate former. And we're the tillage. of Yahweh's house. We are his fruit. We are the plants that he's making. We're being planted. We're being watered. We're growing. We're the garden of Yahweh itself, okay, that Yahweh talked about. You know, in the beginning, Yahweh made man, and he said, be fruitful and to multiply. For what? To bring forth holy seed, right? To bring forth holy seed. That's the reason. Look over go back to real quick. Hebrews 10 here, in verse 39, continue on. He says, my soul will have no pleasure in him who draws back, but we are not those who draw back to perdition. We're not of those, but we are those who believe to the saving of lives, okay? That's the reason why we're here, is to save life, to save someone's life. Not to make somebody think that they're being forced to do anything or anything. You know, the ways of Yahweh is a choice. We choose one way or the other, you know, to do whatever we want to do, and Yahweh never forces us. Now look over to Numbers chapter 30 here, because this is talking about vow, but notice the seriousness of these things as Yahweh brings these things out. In Numbers chapter 30, now on page 138, page 138, Numbers chapter 30, okay, Numbers chapter 30, and look at verse 2. It says, when a man vows a vow to Yahweh, or he vows an oath to bind himself to some pledge, he shall not break his word. He must do everything he said he would do. He must give unto Yahweh what belongs to Yahweh, and give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. The world will take care of itself. Even Yahshua said that, you know, sufficient is the evil thereof. I think it's the way the King James says it, for tomorrow and so forth. Don't worry about it. The world will take care of itself. There's enough evil in the world. You do righteousness and seek after the kingdom. But what we said that we will do, everything that we said we will do, we must do. And look at, and this whole chapter has to do with vows, but look at verse 16. It says, these are the statutes that Yahweh gave Moshe concerning relationships between a man and his wife, and between a father and his young daughter still living in his house. Notice, she's not released. She's not released until on her own, until a proper lawful marriage is given. Okay? And it's the same with the men. They shouldn't be allowed just to run around and do whatever they want to do. Look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Here, in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 says, keep your foot, watch your step when you go into the house of Yahweh, and be ready to listen, then to give the sacrifice to fools, right? And then jump down to verse 6. Don't let your mouth cause your body to sin. Don't sin in the presence of the Moloch of Yahweh. It was a mistake. Why should Yahweh be judging you by what you said and destroy the works of your hands? You know, we've come this far. We've worked so hard to get to this point. Why? Why would we want to throw it away? It just doesn't make any sense, does it? And you think of people get weak and do things. Now remember, you know, we're virgins in the eyes of Yahweh. So these laws and stuff that they read, it's referring to us being undefiled from the world as well. Okay? And notice verse 2, he says, don't be rash with your own mouth. Don't think of hastily uttering a word before Yahweh. Yahweh is in heaven and you on earth, so let your words be few. He's talking about these reckless, rash words, okay? Uttering words that don't make any sense. Let your words be few. You notice he says, don't think. Do not think of these things, okay? How should we think? Turn over real fast. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's on page 906. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10 here. It says, verse 3. He says, don't think. Don't think of rashly uttering words out of your mouth. But here's how we should think. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in and we live in the flesh, remember what Yahshua said? The flesh is useless. The flesh is the carnal mind. There's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing for us that we can benefit from that. But though we live in the flesh, we don't wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds. Now, stronghold means anything that has a strong hold on you. Okay? Anything that has a strong hold on you. Whatever it may be that you may be battling, you know. Everybody has different things that they battle with in their carnal minds. But demolishing arguments and destroying every high thing that exalts itself. Okay, now you remember, that should make us think about not making ourselves up as a god, right? A god is anything that exalts itself against Yahweh. Not exalting itself against the one who is Yahweh. Bringing under control every thought. Bringing under control every thought into the obedience as the Messiah did. Okay? Bring in these things because actions come from thoughts, right? You think first, and then you act. So, if you bring under control your thoughts, you can control your actions as well. We don't want to return back to Egypt. We want to remember our vows that Yahweh said that we made. Okay? Look over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3. It's on page 923. 923. Philippians 3. Look at verses 12 through 16. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, nor were already perfect, but I keep on pursuing after it, that I may take hold for that which Yeshua Messiah has also taken hold of me. Remember, he was tempted in every way that we were. Brothers, I do not consider myself as having yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Hold your place there. Forgetting those things which are behind. Okay, turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Hold your place there. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Forgetting those things that are behind. This is on page 522. Page 522. Forgetting those things that are behind. Because remember, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11 says, it's well to have wisdom as well as in, 10. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? You're not showing wisdom by asking such a question. Okay? Verse 13, consider the work of Yahweh. Consider it. Think about it. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? You know, even in the work of Yahweh, sometimes some things may seem like it just don't work out. It's like, man, that occurred. It threw a wrench into the plan. No, it was according to Yahweh's work. For some reason, he allowed something to occur. Consider the work. And this is why every day we're faced with it, right? We're faced with it as you work together. You're faced with one another. You can't escape your brother. You can't run away, or your sister. You can't run away from him. You have to face him. You have to work with him. You can get along with anybody. When people say, I just can't work with that person, you're a liar. You know why? You can get along with anybody. All you have to do is accept that person. You have to accept them. Okay? And if you accept them, then you realize that, hey, okay, maybe I don't like so much what he does there. But he's a righteous brother. Or he's a righteous sister. And I can handle that. Okay? And you can get along with them. Just realize that they have different personalities. They have different likes and dislikes in what you do. You know? And so therefore you can get along with them. So notice what it says here. But be pleased when things do go well. But when things are bad, consider. Yahweh has made the one as well as the other. And man will never know what lies ahead of him. Okay? Now go back to Philippians chapter 2 here. So he said, I'm going to press on towards the prize of the high calling. Okay? And then he says, I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. This is Philippians 3. Verse 15, therefore as many as are perfect, think on this way. And if anything you think otherwise, then Yahweh will indeed reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to that which you have already attained. Notice what he says here. Nevertheless, to that which we have already attained. Okay, let us walk according to that standard. Let us be of the same mind. Let us be in unity. Already attained. We've already been taught what's necessary to have eternal life. We've already been taught these things. So as he says here, let us walk according to that standard. Don't forget the vow that you made to Yahweh. Don't desire to go back into Egypt. Don't turn back into those ways of Egypt. Look over to Galatians. Just turn a couple of pages over. Galatians, I think it's page 912 here. Galatians 3, verse 12, he says, for the law is not contrary to the faith. Galatians 3, verse 12. The law is not contrary to the faith. For the man who does these things will live by them. He's going to live by them. Okay? And like it says in verse 24, the law is our teacher. And in verse 25, the faith has come that we will be trained. Okay? So the law is not contrary to the faith. What Yahweh teaches us is exactly what the house of Yahweh teaches. Okay? It's not contrary. We don't teach one thing or the other. You know, we're trying to teach everybody to come out of the world. Cain, okay? Cain was told by Abel, he said, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. Okay? Sin is crouching at your door. That word door, it also means gate. And what did Yeshua say? The gates of hell will not prevail, right? So he was telling Cain, you know, the gates of hell is crouching at your door, but you can overcome sin, Cain. You can overdo it. You can do it if you want to do it, okay? And that's the same choice that each and every one of us has. Now, some of these things that we're talking about here, one of the things that can draw people back into it puts you back into a mindset, okay? It brings you back into a mindset of something. And that mindset that you have to have is to make it into the kingdom. You've got to continue to keep that in your mind and continue to keep thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. What is righteousness? You know? Yahweh, he's such an awesome creator. You know, he made us with a mind to where we hate him. You're born with a mind that despises righteousness. And yet, he opens up your mind. Thousands and thousands of years can pass by, okay? Think about all the time period that there was where there was no righteousness. There was no house of Yahweh. And yet, a little gene was put in someone. And that was carried on to another generation, and another generation, another generation. And all of these different generations didn't know Yahweh. There was no house of Yahweh for thousands of years. And then at a set time, Yahweh opens the door for you. And your mind can understand who your creator is. The world's still searching for that. You know, they still ask, like, what's the purpose of man? Why is man created? Why are we here? You know, like some great philosophical question, you know. It's like the thinker, you know, he's sitting there thinking, He never got past his first thought, I guess, you know. He's just still stuck there thinking of what's going on. But we should be thinking continuously and staying focused on Yahweh's word. You know, and this is why the law of Yahweh says to study daily, right? And you know what occurs if you don't. It's like Pastor said long ago, you'll sit down and study, and everything in the world will pop into your head. Oh, I got to do this. I got to get a glass of water. I got to do this. I got to do that. Before you know it, 20 minutes has gone by, and you ain't read one sentence because you're doing something else, right? And before you know it, oh, man, I got to get out of here. You take off, and before you know it, you didn't read anything. You didn't build up your mind, right? And it's all having to do with building up our minds so that we can be as Yahweh. Because we got, you know, Yahweh says he's created us and he's made us and he won't give up on us. He will never give up on us. We give up on ourselves, but Yahweh never gives up on us. You know, when we think that we were defeated, we belong to Satan. Satan's got us right there. You know, she got us exactly where she wanted us at, right there. You know, so we have to overcome that. We have to defeat that. We have to stand up against it. We have to stand strong and realize that, you know, the world doesn't have this. They don't have the knowledge and understanding that we have. They don't even have the opportunity right now to know these things. But yet the Creator has allowed us to be able to know him, to understand him, and to be able to grasp. Remember, like it says in I think it's in Corinthians or someplace where it says the length and the breadth and the depth thereof. You know, that's talking about three-dimensional type thing. You know, we can see the whole focus, the entire plan of Yahweh. That's never been known to mankind before. Man has never known why he's been placed on this earth. And to this day, they still don't know. You know, even the apostles, when they wrote things, like in Acts, it says, you know, we've made of one, actually in the scriptures it says, we've been made of one blood. Well, the word blood's not in the text. We've been made of one, you know, one Yahweh. Yahweh made us as one, you know, mankind. He didn't make different kinds. And that's the thing you see in creation. Yahweh made this on the first day. And he made everything after its own kind. He made this after his own kind. And he saw that it was right. When it came to mankind, it was only one shot, man. You know, he made one man. And from there, he said mankind would come forth. The different kinds of men. Okay? And of course, that also meant that the character can change and whatever too. Okay? So we're born with a mind that hates our Creator, but we can turn it around. And that's something that the world just cannot comprehend, you know. They don't have the opportunity to do so. Well, let's see. Here in Galatians chapter 3. Okay, in verse 24 it says, "So this is that the law is our teacher, leading us to the Messiah, so that we might be justified through the faith." Now, as we said, the law is not contrary. You know, there's one law for the homeborn, and there's one law for the stranger. Okay? And Yahweh's given us all that we need. Eyes not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has in store for us. We just can't comprehend these things, you know. But he says it's not contrary, okay? The law makes perfect sense. The law is holy. The law is righteous. The law is what we need, okay? We have to have the laws of Yahweh. And like it says here, the law is our teacher, leading us to the Messiah so that we might be justified through the faith. You know, this justification is done by Yahweh, but it's done through our efforts. Okay? We can be justified in this faith if we allow Yahweh to work with us. We have to allow Him to work with us. If we don't allow Him to work with us, then we'll go our own way. And you know, and Yahweh doesn't want that. He didn't spend all of this time, we don't even know how long, he thought about the plan to make mankind in his image. But he took the time, you know, and Yahweh is the most unselfish being in the universe. He never thinks of himself, except in the fact that he's looking forward to his family. But he's always serving. He's serving everyone. He's serving everything, every living thing, which is in the entire universe. There's nothing out there in the universe that's dead, you know, except things that are dying. But even then, he's ready to take that, restore that, and to turn that back into something that can be used into a usable thing. Now, one of the things that can pull us back into the world, okay, is fashions. We came out of this world. And the world is the world. That's like Yeshua said, given to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Given to Yahweh the things that belong to Yahweh. Yahweh is a businessman. And Yahweh has an investment in us. And that investment is that he wants to see a return for his investment. And so when he gives us spirit holy, he gives us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we can learn from these things. And the most beautiful part is when he talked about Pastor, when he says he will be quick understanding, and he will not judge by his eyes and so forth, right? All of these things, you can see how he works with the one whom he has called to be able to be a perfect example of what it's like to be like Yahweh. You know, and that's our example to follow. And we are his seed. So as being his seed, we are being made into the likeness of Israel Hawkins. Okay? And that's why you are Yahweh to me, I am Yahweh to you. We are Yahweh to one another. As we see one another and we see the things that Yahweh has created and the awesomeness that there is in knowing his plan, the awesomeness of knowing, of having the freedom to think and to think righteous thoughts, not evil. You know, the world is absolutely miserable. in the situation that they're in right now. They're waiting for deliverance. They want to be delivered. You know, this in the world, there's no hope. There's absolutely no hope. They have nothing to look forward to. They get up, they try and fill their day with something that is meaningless. You know, they try to find some form of entertainment. They try and find something that they can do to keep themselves busy, to make themselves joyful. I'm looking to the day whenever we can go back to the old days, to where everything can be made by hand. You know, that's when life was enjoyable. You had time. You needed a table, go out and cut yourself a tree down and make lumber out of it, you know, and so forth. But you had time to enjoy life. And that's what the pastor's been teaching us about, is to enjoy life for what it is. And Yeshua said it. Remember, he said to come to enjoy the abundance of life. I came that you may have life more abundantly. One of the things here is fashion. Okay? Fashion is to make or to form anything, the state of anything with regard to its external appearance. The form of a garment, the cut or shape of clothes, and the prevailing mode of dress. Now, you might think, okay, so what's that got anything at all to do with it? Well, conformity to Egypt is what we're dealing with. You know, if we allow ourselves to act like the world, then we're giving to Caesar what is Caesar's, but we're robbing from Yahweh. See? And we belong to Yahweh. So we're supposed to give unto Yahweh what belongs to Yahweh and let the world have what belongs to them. The house of Yahweh, you know, we protect our people. We have a dress code that we use, okay? And that dress code is made for righteousness' sake, okay? And this is the reason why our women dress modestly. This is why if they have some type of top or something that has any type of writing or design or whatever, those things are on the back, okay? So it's not to draw attention to a person, okay? The world is not that way. The world doesn't have their fashions. Their fashions are designed to whore out a woman's body to begin with, okay? It's not to insinuate righteousness. And it's the same with the men. You know, the men are not free from this either. You know, but the thing is tight pants and see-through blouses and all this kind of stuff. You know, a husband should never allow his wife or children to leave the house like that, right? That's the standards that the house of Yahweh puts forth. That's the standards that we put forth because we live in righteousness. And another thing, too, is, you know, there's no such thing as a double standard, okay? There's no double standard in the dress code. You can't come to Yahweh's house, dress in your nice black and whites, go home, and then throw on your shorts and tank top. Okay? There's no double standard. You don't dress at home any differently than you do here at the house. Okay? You always have to keep these things in our mind. That'd be like coming on Sabbath and saying, okay, well, here's Sabbath service, you know, and I'll keep the law today, but, well, tomorrow I'll forget about it, you know? You have to do it always. It can't be anything that is just something that you just do whenever you want, okay? And in the world, these things are made to where they take the mind off of where it should be. And men are not exempt. Now, I know, you know, the fashions, like we said, the fashions of the world, okay, the prevailing dress. The fashions in the world, they make designs and they put designs on clothing. And even though men's jeans and stuff, and this isn't to embarrass anybody or anything, but the thing is that there are certain designs that they put on jeans. Well, they could put them on the cuffs if they wanted to do something like that, okay? But instead, they put them on the front pockets and on the back pockets. And what does that do? It draws the eye to certain parts of the body. That's how subtle Satan is. We may think that, you know, we can get by with something, or we may think that there's no harm in this because, you know, what's wrong with that? It's just a pattern. But if anything draws the eye to some place that it shouldn't, then you're going back into Egypt. Now, should you go out and buy new clothes? You can do what you want. I'm just telling you, it shouldn't be here in Yahweh's house. It's not proper dress. Turn over to Yeshub, chapter 31. Yahweh said to be holy. In fact, turn over to 1 Kefa 1. 1 Kefa 1. Yahweh commands us to be holy. In 1 Kefa 1, verses 15 through 16, Yahweh commands us. It's on page 957. 1 Kefa 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he who has called you is holy, so also become holy in all your conduct. That's all of your behavior. That's everything that we have. And it says, because as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Okay? Yahweh is holy. Yahweh loves his own law. Remember, that's what holy means. The conduct that we keep, the conduct that we practice, is holiness, it's righteousness. It's something that when someone looks at us, they can see Yahweh. This is why there's, like I said, there's no double standards. You don't dress one way when you're by yourself. Remember, the definition of self-control is, you know, when, how you handle yourself when no one's around, no one's looking, right? So you don't have a double standard of dressing a certain way and then going out into the world and dressing a different way, you know? Because you think, well, I'm in the world here, so I can do what I want to do, you know? No, let the Romans be the Romans. We are the house of Yahweh. Let us be the house of Yahweh always, okay? But he says here, he who has called you is holy, okay? Because Yahweh abides in holiness. And if you remember when he talked about Yahshua, it says that Yeshua is separate from sinners. Okay, he's the high priest, and he's separate from sinners. He's not going to be around anyone. You know, someone may think they can creep into the kingdom, and then he's going to say, how did you get in here? Okay, it's going to be found out. So if we don't get these things out of our hearts and our minds now, what's going to occur? It's going to enter into the kingdom with us. You understand that? It's going to enter into the kingdom with us if we don't get it out of our hearts and minds now. Okay? And that's the importance of these things. We can only be holy if we practice holiness, right? You are righteous if you practice righteousness. So he says, verse 17, and if you call on the Father who without respect to persons judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in reverence. Okay, so you have to conduct yourself. That righteous conduct always has to be the thing that stimulates our mind. Otherwise, we forget our vow. We forget guarding our children. We forget guarding our family. We forget guarding ourselves. And then we'll go off and do whatever we want to do. And if we go off and do whatever we want to do, Yahweh's going to allow it. He's not going to hold us here. He doesn't force us. Notice what it says in verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold from your idolatrous way of life that was handed to you by tradition or your forefathers, or even the things that we kept in our past, right? Like we talked about saying, don't think about and say, man, the old days, why weren't they better than today? You know, we didn't have anything back then, but idolatrous way of life, as it says, right? But with the precious blood of Messiah, as with the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's how long you were in Yahweh's plan. He knew that. And he knew that the way that the world was going to be. He knew the world would go a certain way. He knew the fashions of the world would be a certain way. Because the fashions of the world is what plays with the mind and corrupts the mind and so forth. Who through him, we do believe in Yahweh, having raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. That is, gave him authority. Remember the authority found in Genesis 1:26? That your faith and hope might be in Yahweh. Okay? In verse 22, since he had purified your souls by obedience. Okay? Obedience. In genuine, unfeigned love of the brothers, love one another fervently with a pure heart. That's the pureness that Yahweh is looking forward to. Not the ways of the world. You know, the ways of the world is the world. And Yahshua said, give unto Yahweh what belongs to Yahweh. Let Caesar have his own things. Caesar's ways were always going to be there anyway. You know, nothing's going to change that. Look over to Yeshua 31. Yeshua 31. Page 427. Yeshua 31, verse 1. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not lust after foolishness. I would not lust after foolishness. Okay? Now, of course, when we think of a fool, the scripture says one who doesn't believe Yahweh is a fool. If we fail to realize that Yahweh means business, if we fail to realize that what Yahweh has given unto us is the absolute truth, if we fail to realize what the house of Yahweh teaches is the pillar and ground of that absolute truth, and if we fail to take that to heart, then we're foolish. And that's what Yeshua was saying. We're fools and slow of heart, right? Slow of heart. Not taking everything to heart. Not realizing that all the warnings, all the teachings, everything that Yahweh has in his house is geared towards getting us into that kingdom. And if we take those things lightly, it's like slapping Yahweh in the face. Because remember, he called us, and that's a personal invitation. A personal invitation by him to come and be a part of his family. And that's the thing, you know, it's not just to have eternal life, but to be a part of Yahweh's family, you know, to be like Yahweh himself. That is such an awesome and incredible thing. Now he says here, I made a covenant with my eyes. So he's made an agreement. Remember we talked about those eyes earlier. He's made an agreement with his eyes that he would not lust after foolishness. But the things that we should be lusting after is righteousness. Those are the things that we should be seeking after. Yahweh's called us here for a reason. And it's not just to accept some things and throw other things away. You know, we have the hardest test in these last days. And we have to work the hardest out of any other generation that's ever been alive. Because no one has been tested and tempted the way that we are in these last days. I mean, it's out there, it's open, it's everywhere. It's continually thrown at us. You know, it's like before, they might be riding in a chariot and ride a couple of miles and they'll see a billboard out in the desert. We can have one every block, right, when you're driving down the road. There's stuff that is in front of us, thrown in front of us continually, all the time, to try and get to our minds, to destroy us. But he says, yeah, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not lust after foolishness. The King James says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should then I think upon a maid? Why should I think upon a maid? That word think. Okay? Listen carefully. That word think is 995, and it means to separate mentally, to distinguish, to observe, to mark, to give heed to, or consider. Now think of that, what he just said about I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I separate mentally? That's in your mind. Why should you distinguish a certain maid? Why should you observe a certain maid? Why should you mark a certain maid? Why should you give heed to or consider? It means to separate mentally. In other words, men, you have no right by Yahweh to search out and to look at a woman and begin to lust after her. It starts with just that look. It starts with the look, and then you start fantasizing and thinking about her, and then desiring her, and then maybe you might inquire about her. Had things been done righteously, it would take care of itself. And women, it's the same thing with you. Because it goes for everybody. I made a covenant with your eyes. It doesn't say just the men made a covenant with his eyes, right? You can't look and mark out and separate someone from the congregation and say, I want them as my mate. It's not the way it is in Yahweh's house. Okay? Let Yahweh do what he needs to do. You seek the counsel of your counselors, and things will take care of themselves. Things will be done lawfully. Because if you do that, then you're looking with your own eyes. You're desiring with your own heart. And then you steal from Yahweh. Because you steal the authority of the priesthood. They're the ones who are over you. They're the ones who are watching over you. You remember what we read before? You know, they watch over you to guard you and to protect you, to lead and to guide you. And that's a prime example right there. I don't care how old you are, male or female. It shows that you're ignorant when you do that. You don't realize what you're doing. Maybe you do, but if you do, you're in real serious trouble. But if you don't, then wake up, right? Because everything has to be done lawfully. If not, it's done unlawfully. And if you're unlawful, then of course Yahweh says you're not going to be a part of his kingdom. Remember Potiphar's wife, right? She had longing eyes, right? She had longing eyes. She longed after Yasa. Now, that right there is an example, just like it says in Proverbs, about the longing eyes. You know, give heed to that woman. Don't go next to her, okay? Because of the fact of what's there. But, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, well, I can handle it. You know, I know what I'm doing. Then you're in real trouble when you do that, okay? Anytime you really think you know what you're doing, you're in trouble, all right? And that's when you really need to examine yourself, okay? With guidance and counselors and so forth, then you'll be okay, all right? Now, look over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Here in Matthew chapter 6, Yeshua said, now since we're talking about this thinking and so forth, Yeshua, in chapter 6, let's look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Well, I'll go to verse 19. First he says, don't store up treasures for yourselves upon the earth, where moth and rust consume and where the thieves break in and steal. You know, when you think about it, it's like, why do you want something that somebody else is going to steal from you? You know, people buy stuff and they have things set up and they show it off and stuff. And then they have to be in fear of someone coming and stealing what they got. You know, because this world, that's the way this world, the mindset is. Remember, our mindset is being turned to come out of Egypt, not to remain in Egypt, but to come out of it. But store up in yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupts and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, you see where it says, don't store up for yourself treasures in heaven? You remember what it says in First Kefa 1, verse 4. It says, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and which does not fade away, reserved in the heavens for you. Okay? So these things are reserved in the heavens for us. And if we would only allow Yahweh to have his way, like it says, who are kept by the power of Yahweh through the faith. You see, the faith is not just something that you just believe in. Okay? You remember years ago, Pastor told us when he taught us about believing in the one sent. You remember that? Anybody remember that? Well, you remember wrong, because it says believe into the one sent. Okay? There's a difference. Okay? Not just belief in him, but believing into him. Becoming as he is. Okay? We are his seed. And as his seed, we have to become like Israel Hawkins. Okay? And if we become like him, then Yahweh is making us into himself as well. Okay? So, as it says here, we're kept by the power of Yahweh through the faith. It's through the faith. It's through the belief of these things. It's through the practice of these things. It's becoming like Yahweh himself. Then we're waiting for salvation ready to be revealed in the end time. Right? Well, it's going to be revealed in the end time by only one man. Only one man on the face of this earth has the authority. In other words, actually, only one man that's ever lived. Okay? Has the authority, and that is with Yahshua working with him to reveal to this whole earth what salvation is in these last days. And we can be a part of that. Okay? That's where our treasure can be. Hold your place here in Matthew chapter 6. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 3. And he said to me, now remember, he says back here in Matthew, he said, where your treasure is, okay, it's reserved in heaven. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But in Isaiah 49 here, he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified, okay? And that word glorified means to make clear. I'm going to use you, Israel, to make clear my plan. Yeah. Can you just, no, you can't. We can't imagine our names. We can't imagine Yahweh writing something like that about us, you know? And I often think about that. It's like, man, how a pastor just like he reads about himself in the scriptures, you know? I mean, we're called his seed, so we're there, you know, okay? But it's like Yahweh named this man before he was ever born. He was in his plan from the very beginning, and he's written about in there. He says, you are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified. And then I said, I've labored in vain. Do we like that part? That's kind of depressing in a way, don't you think? You know, but when we do wrong, and when we don't live up to our standards, and when we don't keep our vows that we made, whatever it is, you know, when you get involved in the work of Yahweh, if you don't do that, then you're breaking your vow. If you don't be faithful in your marriage, you're breaking your vow. If you don't do whatever you says out of the words of your own mouth, you're breaking your vow. And as it says, I've labored in vain. That thought had entered into his head. And it was a great blessing when he said in that sermon, when he says that he could see that his labor wasn't in vain. But he says, I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yahweh. See, he knew. And my work is with my Father. He knew that Yahweh is the judge. He knew that Yahweh was judging each and every person that he's working with. Every one of his seed. And my work is with my Father. Jump down to verse 6. And he said, Yahweh says, this is Yahweh speaking of Israel. He says, it is not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the protected of Israel. I will also give you a light to the Gentiles so that you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth. You know, when pastor is spoken about, and he's spoken about as being the seventh Moloch, and the trumpet blast will blow, and the people will hear these things, that's going to be pastor ushering in the kingdom. And we can have a part with that if we keep our treasures in heaven, reserved in heaven, like it says. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. So he says, but store up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where our treasure is, our hearts. You know, our hearts has to do with everything that we think, everything that we feel, all of our actions, our emotions, all of these things that Yahweh has given into us, because these things also proceed forth from the heart, as the scripture says. They come forth from the heart. And then as Yahweh says, you know, the heart of man can be deceitfully wicked, you know. But these things are stored in our hearts. So therefore, if our heart is right with Yahweh, and we desire the treasure that Yahweh has, then we can have enjoyment in life. You know, we won't get bored with life. And that's what sometimes people do, is they get bored, you know. Well, they're not enjoying life. They fail to remember why Yahweh called them to their house. You can't come and remain in Yahweh's house and be bored, you know. There's no such thing as boredom in Yahweh's house. If it is, then you're not thinking. You know, your mind is off somewhere else in la-la land. Get it back to where it needs to be. You know, a mind is like those saying, the mind is a terrible thing to waste if you just let it go. But where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. The lamp of the body is the eye, notice. Remember that longing eye that Potiphar's wife had? Right? Remember where it says, I made a covenant with my eye not to lust and so forth? The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is righteous, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, your whole body will desire to keep the laws of Yahweh, because that's what it's all about, is desiring to be like Yahweh himself, desiring to be righteous, thinking upon the things that Yahweh wants us to think upon, and not allowing these things in the world to get a hold to us to where we start thinking an opposite way, because then we start separating ourselves from Yahweh. But we've got to guard ourselves. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. We've got to guard ourselves. All we can become weak-minded. Like I said earlier, some people may think, I can handle it, I'm strong enough. Well, you're a fool when you think that, right? Because the scriptures say otherwise. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, I think it is. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, he says, therefore... Now, first of all, verse 11 says, all these things were written as examples for us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Okay? So everything that we see written, all these examples, like we read about Yosef and, you know, with Moshe and with the examples of Yeshua, all of these things are out there. They're written for a reason, so that we won't fall into the same traps. Okay? So we won't fall into the same thing that will pull us away. And that's what it says here in verse 12. They were written upon for our admonition, verse 11, as examples, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. In fact, the whole book of Yahweh has been written in these last days for us. You know, believe it or not, I mean, the Apostle Paul, he did not have the King James Version. Okay? He did not have the King James Version. But I love that, man. King James Version. Apostle Paul preached King James Version. You know, no one had the scriptures. Okay? They had bits and pieces and scrolls and things like that. We're the only ones in the last days. We're the only ones who have the complete book of Yahweh put together for us. Okay? So, all of these things were written, as a notice, it says, for the end of the ages. Okay? That's us. We are the only ones who can actually boast in Yahweh. That we have, you know, that we can stand before all the rest of the universe and boast of the fact that we had the complete plan of Yahweh with us, and that we are the only ones that understood these things. So notice what it says, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands be on guard that he does not fall. Okay? Because you can. This wouldn't be written here if it wasn't true. Okay? We can fall. We can lose sight of the goal. We can let our vows be forgotten, but Yahweh doesn't forget them. Okay? You can't break a vow. Okay? Yahweh knows, he takes you at his word. If you do such a thing, then your heart is not with Yahweh and it's not as Yahweh. Okay? So he doesn't make a way out. He doesn't say, well, you know, you can keep this vow until this certain point and then you can stop. You know? No, a vow is forever. And we all made vows to be as Yahweh wants us to be. Verse 13, there's no temptation taking hold of you except what is common to man. Oh, I know. You're the only one that goes through life. You're the only one who goes through hard times, right? No one else has a bad day but you, right? You're the only one. No, notice it says, no temptation is taking hold except what is common to man, okay? Those things that are common to man, those things that everybody in the whole world has to put up with, it's common to everybody, okay? But notice what he says. But Yahweh is faithful. Yahweh is faithful. Now, then this is only given to us, to the house of Yahweh. So count your blessings and remember what he says here. Because in the world, people can't handle things. And when they can't handle things, what do? They'll put a gun to their head and end their life, you know? Because they don't have what we have. They haven't been given the things that we have been given. They haven't been given the opportunity that we have been given. And if we fail in that opportunity that we have, we've blown it. We've only got one opportunity, and that is to be what Yahweh wants us to be. Otherwise, as it says, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's going to be a horrible, horrible time when that takes place. Notice he says, Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. See that? He's not going to give you anything that you can't bear. And with the carnal mind, we tend to think, and it's like, man, I don't know whether I can take anymore. That's the last straw. Well, no, it's not. Because Yahweh's got a whole truckload over here that he's going to put on top of your back. Okay? It's not the last straw. Okay? It's just what we think up here, you know, that makes it so horrible. But it's not. He says, you're not going to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, notice, he will also make a way of escape. Now, how cool is that? Huh? You know, Yahweh says he's going to make an escape. See, he won't throw anything on us where he knows. He won't put anything on us that he would know that would cause us to fall away. Okay? We can cause ourselves to fall away. We can cause ourselves to leave Yahweh's way. We can cause ourselves to doubt Yahweh and not to believe in his promise. But it's not from Yahweh. Because he says, I'm going to give you a way of escape. You just have to look for that way. Okay? It may not be there apparently where you see it, because all you think about is your troubles every day. But if you wait and allow Yahweh to work with you, like we read in Philippians 1:6, give him, you have that confidence to know that he's going to work in you and bring you to perfection, then you'll see the way to escape. You'll see the way to handle your problems. And the reason is because, you remember, Yahweh's in full control. If he's in full control, that means he controls everything. He allows everything to take place. And so if we have to go through a test, you know what? He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what we need. He knows what we have to go through. He knows that if we need to be built in a certain place, he'll allow a test to come. If he knows that, you know, what, 3,000 millennia from now, we're going to be having to do a certain job and we're going to need to be able to be a certain way, he'll allow us to go through a test to bring that point out in our lives. So there's never a place where Yahweh, you know, he said he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So there's never a time when Yahweh will leave us alone. He'll always be there. He'll always be ready to help us up and to make us through the time period that we need to go through. So he says he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So every time temptation comes, think of the fires, the bombs, and the destruction. You know who said that? Israel Hawkins, because I got it written right here on the side of the page. Every time temptation comes, think of the fires and the bombs and the destruction. In other words, when you're tempted to do wrong and to leave Yahweh, then think about the destruction that's going to come upon this earth, because that's the whole reason why it is the way it is. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You know, Satan wants to pull us away. And she will do it. No doubt about it. She will do it. And she'll do it easily if we allow her to do it. But see, we have to allow. Remember, that's another promise from Yahweh. Okay? He says, resist the adversary and she will hang around. Is that what it says? She's got to go, man. She's got to go. Okay? She can't stay around. If we resist her, she has to flee. She has no other choice. See, Yahweh has boundaries set up for everything. And he's only given her a certain permission that she can do certain things, but she can't go beyond that point. And she knows that. And she never goes beyond that point because she knows she would be destroyed before her time. And that's why the demons told Yahshua, are you coming to destroy us before our time? And he said, no, just go wash yourself in mud and so forth. Romans 7, verse 19, it says, now, put this in human terms, because of your natural limitations. For just as you used to offer your bodies in your memory as servants of uncleanness, of sin, which leads more to more sin, so now yield your members as servants to Yahweh in holiness. That's verse 6, chapter 16. Verse 19 is what I wanted of chapter 7. But that goes with it, you know. Verse 19, okay. For the righteousness which I wanted to do. Now notice what he says here. Go back to verse 18. He says, for I know. Now this is the battle that Shaul was talking about. It went on in his mind. He says, for I know that nothing righteous dwelt within me. That is my flesh, okay. That's the carnal mind that we all born with, okay. He knew that nothing righteousness dwelt there. For I had the will to do what was right, but I didn't carry it out. So just as we read before in 1 Corinthians 10 about, you know, take heed lest you fall, because we can all be tempted. You know, we can all be tempted. We can all fall. But he says, I know that there was nothing righteousness that dwelt in my flesh, for I had the will to do what's right. I wanted to do what was right, but for some reason, I just didn't carry it out. Verse 19, for the righteousness that I wanted to do, I didn't do, but the evil which I didn't want to do, that I did. You know, and that's the way it is, isn't it? That's the struggle that we have every day of our life, is we want to do what's right. We want to do what Yahweh wants us to do. You know, we don't want to sin. We don't want to willingly do these things that will separate us from our Heavenly Father. But when the temptation comes, sometimes we just don't practice self-control. We just don't look and think ahead and think and consider all of these things. We don't think about the bombs and all these stuff, like Pastor said, the destruction that's come upon this earth because of mankind's sin, and we're part of that, you know? In fact, you know, like Pastor said, there's no telling how many lives have been spared since you were pulled out and put in Yahweh's house. Because otherwise, everybody in Yahweh's house would be sinning, right? And so one sin passes on to another, to another, and to another. So we never know how much destruction could be done. But he says here, that which I didn't want to do, that's what I do. And that's what you want to beat yourself up for, right? But at the same time, we know what the peaceful solution teaches. You can't. You examine yourself. You see what you did wrong. A just person will fall seven times. He'll pick himself back up and he keeps on going, right? We have to keep on going. We can't stop. Yahweh didn't give up on us. We can't give up on ourselves. But we have to do what Yahweh says. Remember our vows. Come out of Egypt completely. Don't let the ways of the world be the ways of the world. Look over to Genesis chapter 34. Genesis 34. We were talking about fashion and stuff, okay? Keep this in mind, too, because this is a story. And remember, as we just read in Corinthians, all these things were written for our example. Genesis 34. All these things were written for our example, okay? He has a reason for it. Genesis 34, verse 1. Now, I'm never going to read this whole chapter, but you can go back and read it sometime. But notice verse 1. Genesis 34, verse 1. Now, Dinah, daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Okay? And then you can read what occurred to her and so forth. Okay? But she went out to see the daughters of the land. Okay? Now, what kind of company was she keeping to get her mindset that way? I want to read something to you here. That this is from a commentary. And I think it describes it pretty well. I'm not going to say any comments. We'll just read it. It says, Dinah's vain curiosity exposed her. Being an only daughter, she thought herself solitary at home, having none of her own age and sex to converse with, and therefore she must needs go abroad to divert herself, to keep off melancholy, to accomplish herself by conversation better than she could in her father's tents. Note, it's a very righteous thing for children to love home, and it's the parents' wisdom to make it easy to them, and the children's duty then to be easy in it. So her pretense was to see the daughters of the land, to see how they dressed and how they danced and what was fashionable among them. She went to see, yet that was not all. She went to be seen too. She went to see the daughters of the land, but it may be with some thoughts of the sons of the land too. The pride and vanity of young people betray them in many snares. And what is more mischievous than untaught and ungoverned youth? See what came of Dinah's gadding. Young women must learn to be chaste keepers at home, Titus 2:5. And Dinah went abroad to look about her. But if she had looked about her as she ought, she would not have fallen to the snare. We should therefore carefully avoid all occasions of sin and approaches to it. Note, things never go well when the authority of a parent runs low in a family, let every man bear rule in his own house and have his children in subjection with all gravity. I thought that was pretty well put. And the thing is that, like it says, you know, she let sin take occasion of her. She allowed it to be approached. And remember what we read in the law. It says, don't allow your children to give, don't give access to your children in that manner. Now, the Geneva Bible note says that that's an example. That example teaches us that too much liberty is not to be given to youth, which is true. Okay, parents, don't be afraid to uphold the laws of Yahweh. That's your household. You have to do it. Okay, you have to teach your children. You have to set the example. You have to lay down the law sometimes, as it says, okay, and teach them. This is the law of Yahweh. 3 out of 4 people fall away from the house of Yahweh. Why? Because they want to go Satan's way. They want to follow Satan's way instead of going by the laws of Yahweh. And Satan is very, very subtle in the way she does things. Look over to Yashub chapter 1. Yashub chapter 1. She's very, very subtle in the way that she works. And she works on people in ways in which they don't even realize it, you know. But she's very subtle. And that falling away begins with subtlety as well. You know, not paying attention to the little things, as we call it. The little things that we've been taught. You know, Satan's out to deceive whoever she can. And she can and she will do it, okay. And one of the biggest mistakes a parent can make is to introduce his children to wheels. W-H-E-E-L-S, okay? Wheels, or vehicles, you know, like Pastor said. It's one of the biggest mistakes because giving children their freedom to having wheels gives them an invitation to rebellion. And you see this in the world constantly. A parent is actually helping to build a pattern in the minds of their children that they can go off on their own. And eventually they will. They should be taught to have the freedom from sin, not their own freedom to do what they want to do, not to run to and fro and so forth. In Eob here, or Yashub, chapter 1, verse 7, okay, it says, Yahweh said to Satan, well, where'd you come from? And Yahweh, well, I got it right here. Yahweh answered, okay, said, Yahweh said to Satan, so where did you come from? Satan answered Yahweh and said, just from coming, going back and forth in the earth and walking up and down it. Right? Just walking up and down it. The King James says, from going to and fro. That word, to and fro, it means to travel. To travel. To lash the sea. But what's the sea? People. Multitudes. Nation. Society. Right? Just running around, hanging out. That's the danger that comes with being that way. As parents, we've got to watch our children. We've got to protect them. You know, and you know, if you're wise in what you do and the way that you do it, when they get old, they'll look back and they'll see the wisdom. They'll thank you for it. Read The Peaceful Solution and see how many times Pastor Israel Hawkins refers back to his parents and how he thanks them for the things that he was taught. And he's the ultimate result of seeing what can be taught to somebody. Turn to Matitha 22. That's on page 750. Remember we started off here where it says that he asked me, he says, well, give tribute to Caesar, it belongs to Caesar, and give to Yahweh what belongs to Yahweh. Okay? Here in Matitha 22, verse 36. Well, verse 34 says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a lawyer. Okay, so they got this lawyer. They got this big honcho here that he thinks he's going to really test him. And he said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Yeshua said to them, you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. All of your mind, all of your imagination, all of your understanding, everything, you must love Yahweh. And that means that you have to remember your vow that you made. You have to come out of Egypt. You have to remember the things and responsibilities you have with your children Okay, not to allow them to gain access to things that they don't need to have, that would corrupt their minds. You're the guardian. And this is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your brother as yourself. But you know, in order to do that, you have to be obedient. Right? You have to be obedient. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if we forget to follow Yahweh, then we make ourselves into gods instead of the image of Yahweh. So don't quench spirit holy. Don't forget your vow that you made to Yahweh. If you do, then you become as a god. You take on Satan's role. Do as Yeshua said here in verse 21. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to Yahweh the things which are Yahweh's. So let the world have what belongs to them. Come out of it. And give to Yahweh what belongs to him. And that's your life. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you're ready to stand, we'll have closing prayer.